footnote.
This might come fancy to me.
Good morning, good Shushan Purim, and good Erev Shabbos Parshas Tzav. This has to be the biggest zechus of Limud HaTorah ever. The morning after, well, I'm not even sure some people are fit to drive, but everywhere people come to learn Torah is a big zechus. So, well done. 10 out of 10. I'd like to say one vote in honor of Shushan Purim, and then to say some from the parasha. It's a parasha share after all. So let's start. Shushan Purim, the day after, tomorrow, the day after. Mochar Kedos Hayom. Esther wanted another day, the next day like today. What an interesting thing. So where's the root of this thing that of Mochar, tomorrow should be like today, that we should have tomorrow as today? Where's the root of it in history? What's the idea? So there's an interesting thing. Rav Huttner says if you go all the way back to Yaakov and Esav, you'll find everything there. You'll find everything in the story of Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov means Akev, the one who comes at the end. Yaakov is the one who comes at the end. The present, the Olam Hazeh, belongs to Esav. The Osid Lavoi, that belongs to Yaakov. Yaakov has the future. The present belongs to Esav. Yaakov has the future. He's the one who will come in the end. There's an interesting thing that when Yaakov said something, that Yaakov is an Ish Emes, a person who only ever speaks the truth, the Emes. But there's something he said that doesn't seem to have been true. When Esav came to make peace with him, so Esav came and they made friends, and Esav said, "Let me accompany you. Let me help. Let me." No, don't. I've got little kids. We've got the sheep. We'll slow you down, we'll be in your way. So he said, no, don't, you go on your way, and I will meet you, and Adasha Ova El Adoini Seir, I'll come to you in Seir. So he didn't go to Seir, he never did. And you can't say that he was telling a lie, that it wasn't true, he wasn't going to. So Chazal say that everything Yaakov says, stam, is La'osid Lavoi, because that's where Yaakov's Ikka is in the future. The present is not. The Ikka is the future.
When he said, when he told his father was Esau, that's
also another problem. Well, one thing is on. Questions today, I've got a bit of a foggy head. So keep questions very simple. Fine. So therefore Chazal say, that's what Yaakov was referring to. He's referring to the future. In the future I will come to you and we will settle all our scores then. In the future, because Yaakov stam, when he speaks, he's talking la'osid, the whole of the future, not the present moment, because the present moment belongs to Esav, that's where he is. And that's why when Yaakov bought the Bechaira, he said, Michra, Michra, Kayoim. Why did he have to emphasize Kayoim today? Because Esav could say, Yaakov could say, sell me the Bechaira, and Esav will say yes, but it'll be for the future. Because Min Hastam, Yaakov is for the future. So therefore, Esav needed to emphasize, Yaakov needed to emphasize, Hayoin, that this is an exception to the rule, and this mechira of the mechira takes place right away, right now, as opposed to everything stam that happens, that Yaakov says, which is for the future. That is, this is the exception. It's kayoin. This takes effect today, right now, over here. Because the Ikka of Yaakov is the future, and the very existence of Esav clouds that future that belongs to Klal Yisrael, that future that Hashem has promised that it, the very presence of Esav and Amalek in the world clouds the future. It's an interesting thing Rav Huttner says. You find that the fight against Amalek always takes place machar. It's always tomorrow. It's interesting, isn't it, that the word machar in the Torah when it comes to fighting Amalek is one of those words which is ein lehechreya, which is not clear whether it's machar anochi nitzav or fight tomorrow. How the word is to be read, whether it's this way or that, is unclear. But that is the mitzias of Esav. That is what Esav does. The whole of the future, he clouds it over because he is here. This is his place. And as long as he is here, his hashpah is such that the future becomes cloudy. The very word machar has ein lo hechreya. But one thing is certain, that Hashem has guaranteed that no matter what today appears to be like, it's a temporary phase. The machar, where the downfall of Esav is going to happen, is going to come. It comes. And Amalek will be defeated machar. And therefore, when Shaul went to fight Amalek, the pasuk says, Hik vayakim Shaul lamacharos, on the next morning. It's always in the future. And that's why you find in the Megillah, what did Esther say? Machar eser, tomorrow, tomorrow, because she wants Amalek, she wants Ahaman to have the whole of his today, have as much of today, because the future is definitely not his. And therefore, the future belongs to, like Hashem has said, to Yaakov, and therefore, machar eser, machar, tomorrow. So I had an interesting thought, and that's really the soid of Shushan Purim, Mochar Kados Hayoyim, that tomorrow is certain to come. Like we've had a victory today, the big victory, the Mochar, is certain to come. It's often in the length of the galus, and people get despondent, and they feel it goes on. Where is this great future? Where is that tomorrow? And there is the side of Mochar Kados Hayoyim. Then the victory of Amalek was a temporary one today, but the future is coming. It's going to be there, like the Torah says, it will happen. And that's the side of Shushan Purim. The fight against Amalek Be'ika will happen Mochar, but it's a merumas in Mochar Kados Hayoyim. I was sort of thinking about this once, and I had an interesting thought. I think it's interesting anyway, because I thought about it. So anyway, if you had to point to one moment of Haman's downfall, this was the moment where he fell down. It's Balailohahu. Balailohahu, that night, that was the moment where everything fell to pieces for Haman. And it's it's an interesting thing, because his wife said to him, Baboike, tomorrow go talk to the king. She's not a nice person, but sensible enough. You don't need to wake the king up in the middle of the night for this. Go tomorrow. And he went that night. Why did he go that night? Because when it comes to Amalek fighting against Yisrael, Haman understood that whatever you leave till tomorrow is at risk. Because tomorrow, the future, anything that's left to the future, that belongs to Klal Yisrael. And therefore he went, today, I want to go right now. I have to go now, because if I'm going to fight against Mordechai, it has to be now. If I leave it to the future, it's no good. But one thing he missed, that with Klal Yisrael, outside of the Beis HaMikdash anyway, the day already begins at night. Which means even in the night of the Golos, the sign of the future is already there. And therefore, once the night came, it already belonged to tomorrow. And there he already had his mapol already came. Which means that even in the night, even when you look around and you see it's Golos and so on, where is this future? You can already see the sign of the future there. The mapola of Haman, the mapola of Amalek is already being built, even in Balailohahu, even in that night, it's already there. And somebody once said to me, he said, I find it very, very hard to believe in Hashem and in Klal Yisrael, because we're in Golos. We're in Golos for so long, we're in Golos. So I humbly suggested to him that is the reason why he should. That's all the more reason to have confidence. Because we're here. We're here. And it's a pliyat tumah. It's something which should never cease to amaze us, to see Torah, to see Klal Yisrael, to see it and appreciate that it exists, that we're here, the Torah is still here, and it survives and it carries on and it thrives and it grows, and no matter what Haman and Amalek have tried to do and are at times very matzliach with, it still thrives and it grows. It's not a Olam Hazeh. It's not a natural thing. It's not a human thing. It's not possible. And therefore, the macha, that future, is already balaylo hahu. It's already here. It can already be seen. And that's the side of macha, the future, kedos hayoyim. You can see it even today. And just as on that one day they had a temporary victory, macha is coming. And therefore, we have a confidence in the future. We have a confidence in the future of Klal Yisrael. We have a confidence in the future of the world and in the future with Hashem. And that gives us the next day as well as today. Fine. In honor of Shushan Purim. So let's turn to the parasha, Parashas Tzav. So let's say a vort from the Chofetz Chaim, which is very convenient that it's on Shushan Purim. So Chofetz Chaim says, Tzav es arim is born of Leimar. Leimar means... Sorry? So the Medrash says Leimar means that they shouldn't just do the Korbanos, but they should also... Say the parashias. So I don't know halacha how it used to be, but apparently when they brought the karbonas, there was an inyan of the learning the reading the parashias with it. Okay, there's a medrash. Chofetz Chaim brings a medrash to that effect that they should be Isaac in the kriya as they're being makriv the oila. It shouldn't just be makriv, but they should also learn the Torah of it. They should also say the parashias of the Torah with it. So the Chofetz Chaim says, you see over here the significance of Limud HaTorah, of learning the Torah of the Korbanos, that not just or of the Maaseh Mitzvah, that not just the Mitzvah itself that does Hashem want you to do, but He wants you at the same time to be Isaac in the Torah of it. Why should I be Isaac in the Torah of the Korban? I'm bringing it. Here it is. I'm bringing it. But you see, no. You see, the Torah wants you to be busy not just with the mitzvah, but with the limud of it at the same time as you're doing it. What a very, very important thing. The Chofetz Chaim says that in the same way as Hashem made that the korban should be mechaper, should be metaking whatever it's supposed to be in an action, the limud haTorah should also. That it accompanies the korban, it has the same shayrish, and the Torah is the source of everything, and therefore, whatever the korban is metakein, the Torah is mesakein as well, and that's why the two always go together. It's always a chiddush, because I understood, that the inyan of learning the zoyz Torah soila, you learn the Torah and its mechapa, was only where there is no oila, where there is no chatos. But it seems that even when there is, even b'shah toy, where there was an oila, and there was a chatos, and there was a mincha and a shlomim, that there was still an expectation to learn the Torah with it, to accompany it as well. And therefore, the Chofetz Chaim ends off, like you'll see in the various other Sforim, that now that we don't have the Oyla and the Shlomim, one should make an emphasis of learning these things. And so those who have the Kishron and who have the time, like in various places, they made an Inyan. In Brisk, apparently, they make an Inyan of learning Kodshim. So the Inyan is to learn it Bimkoim, that it should be a Bimkoim, the Korban. So that we always understood. That we've heard the Sforim say so, one should be mechazik to learn it, but certainly once we're learning the parashias, these are the parashias of the Korbanos, not to think that these are things that are so far away from us, but to try and get into it, to be mekariv of them, to understand what they meant and what they were, what it was, and to have emunah that this is the tikkun. People sometimes they have a very negative view of the korban, chopping up animals and so on and so forth. But it's not so. A korban was called korev. It brings a person closer. The fact that we're not used to it, it's from the distance we mechazik ourselves. That this was something that a person could come very, very close to the Ribbono Shel Olam in a very real way, in all of these ways. And there are sforim. I recommend Rav Hirsch, if you can find the... Find the easier versions to understand. There's a very, very powerful and very beautiful to understand what the Korbanos did, what they were. But the Chofetz Chaim goes a step further. The Chofetz Chaim quotes the Zohar. Amar Rebbe Kruspedoi. Haiman de Madkar Bupume Bibotik Knesis Bibotimidroshis in Yona du Krubonayo Vertikrufta, if a person talks and learns and says over the Yonim of the Korbonis, and he has kavona in it, he tries to understand it to the best of his ability, to put himself into it. So two things. Beris krusohi, de inon malochayo, de matkrin choyvei, lavosho, that those malochim who speak bad, who are mekatrig against the person, they were, they stop speaking bad and they speak good for the person. So it's not just that it's bimkoim carbon, but it turns, or maybe that's it, the vote of bimkoim carbon means it turns the kategor into a sanegor, that the accuser becomes your defender. So maybe that's what a carbon did. So and therefore the Zohar says, when we say Ezum Kaiman in the morning, so or we say the parish of the carbon tomid, so let a person be mechaven. I would like to be makrav a carbon tomid. I'd like to stand by the Mizbeach and offer my life to the Rebbein Shleilam. Offer my will, my power, my neshama. I'd like to dedicate myself to the Rebbein Shleilam. I'd like to put the dam on the Mizbeach means to give my will, my life, my hergesh, my nefesh. I want to give it to the Rebbein Shleilam. And chatos, that there is such a thing as chet, and I want to be metake in the chet. And so on. And oilo, can you imagine the this is one of those times where you see the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael beyond, above and beyond anything that exists even remotely. It's almost as if Klal Yisrael exists in a sphere all by themselves. Just listen, the Korban Oil is machaper on what? Machshava. Where is there such a concept anywhere that a machshava is anything? That machshava is at all anything of any significance? Then it needs a kapora. And here you see the whole of the person, not just your actions, but your machshavas are important. Your desires and your wishes are really important to Hashem. And even for that, a person needs a tikkun and a kapora. What a marvelous thing it is, how the Korban gives us a chizuk of how important a person is. That even for your machshavas aleiv, it requires a tikkun. You've got to think the right things and desire the right things. So when we're Isaac in these parishes, so we should be mechazik ourselves, sheibana b'samigdash, we want the korbanos back, we want to be able to have that connection to the Rebbein Shalom in this way, and when we're mechaven these things, not only is it as if I've done it, but it's as if I've done it properly, that the kategor becomes a sanegor, becomes my defense. So what's that got to do with Purim? Sorry? Machsheva someone, maybe. What's it got to do with Purim? It's very well known. What was Mordechai busy with? The Korban. The Kmitza. He was busy with the Hilchas Kmitza. So the Chofetz Chaim says, can you imagine someone who's facing a perilous end, and he's got the time to go to shul and to learn? What's Kmitza? He's got nothing else to learn. No. Well, why is that the top of the agenda that a person has to learn? Maybe she'd be learning Hilchos Kiddush Hashem. Yes? And the Chofetz Chaim says that this is the point, that this is what the Zohar was saying, that the Kmitza, the halacha of the Korban, someone who's Isaac in any part of it, the Kategor becomes a Sanegor. That turns the accuser into the defender. And therefore, that was why Mordechai was busy with it. And therefore, for us also, it should be a chizuk, that we should be mechazik ourselves in the nyonim of the korbanos. And certainly these parshas let us double our efforts to understand a bit more, to take something away from it, and to hope for them. And maybe to when we say the tefillas in shul with a bit more of an energy and a bit more enthusiasm, and it should be fulfilled, the kategor should become a sanegor. I thought also, because we say, you know, the Gemara says, there's a discussion whether Talmud is greater or Maaseh is greater. It's an interesting thing that the Gemara, some people think that the conclusion of the Gemara, the maskana of the Gemara, is Talmud is greater, shemevi lidei maisa, that is its greatness. Its greatness is that it brings to maisa. It's not so. The Gemara, what it says is this: Talmud is godel Talmud. It's Machlekes Rabbi Tarfon Rabbi Akiva. Godol Talmud. Talmud is so big and so important all by itself. And he says, Maisa is so important. It's all by itself. It's so important. You can't even see which one is better, that is more important than the other. Each one has its own segulas and is so important in its own way. Talmud is so important to learn. Maisa is so important to do mitzvahs properly. But Talmud has one additional advantage, is that it also brings to Maisa. It's not that its greatness is it brings to Maisa. That's not its greatness. It is great all by itself. But it has, over Maisa, an additional advantage that it's a mevi lidei Maisa. Now this vort of Godel Talmud shem mevi lidei Maisa, I thought we could understand it a bit like this as well. That where you're unable to do a Maisa, how great is Talmud that it is in the place of a Maisa. Where you can't do the action of a mitzvah, where we don't have it, God of Talmud, it is in the place of a Maisa if a person learns. I remember that there was a story with I think Rav Eliashiv, where somebody came to him and realized, he realizes that his tefillin had been posel, meyikara. They were never kosher. So he is 15 or 20 years he's been wearing tefillin, and he's never been yotza. I remember this in yeshiva. There was a boy in yeshiva also, in yeshiva. So this wasn't 20 years. This was a few years since his bar mitzvah, 3-4 years since his bar mitzvah. They found this tefillin had been made wrong. So he was never yotz in the mitzvah of tefillin. He was very, very upset about it. So this man went to Rabbi Yashin and says, I think maybe to be mitakein that I've never worn tefillin. So maybe I should buy tefillin for people, or for people who don't have tefillin, and so the people who've come from Russia or Bali Tshuva, I'll buy tefillin. So we have all very nice ideas, but the other idea that the Chazal say is be oisek in the Torah of tefillin, learn the sugyas properly, learn what the Rishonim say. Be oisek in the Torah. That is bimkoy maisa, and that's the Godel Talmud shemevi lidei maisa, where you don't have the maisa, the Talmud is bimkoy, and that's an additional idea which I thought is possible. Let's turn our attention now to Rav Hirsch, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, on Parshas Tzav. On Parshas Tzav, I'd like to say two different things. One is on the Trumas Hadeshen and the Hoitzas Hadeshen, and then we'll talk about the end of the Parsha of the Karbonos in a short while. So it's an interesting thing that there are two Avodos that take place at the end of the last day, the big preparation for the next day in the Beis HaMikdosh. There's the Trumas Hadeshen, which is an Avodah done with Big Day Kahuna, where the Kohen takes a little bit and he puts it next to the Mizbeach. It's an Avodah. It's not for the next day. It's not to prepare for the next day, because that's the next bit, the Hoitzas Hadeshen. There, the Kohen had to wear Big Day Kahuna, but lesser Begodim, not so choshev, not an apron, but lesser, Big Day Kahuna, and he had to take the ashes and clear them away to make way for the next. I don't know if they did it every single day. I think in the Yom Tovim they left it there to pile up, because that's the Noy Mizbeach, that's the beauty of the Mizbeach. But either way, that was the preparation for the day ahead. So this Trumas Hadeshen is like sort of completing the Avodah of the day before. It's an interesting thing also, the contrast that he's wearing, the Trumas Hadeshen is done with Big Day Kahuna, the normal Big Day Kahuna. The Hoitzas Hadeshen, the cleaning of the Mizbeach, is done with lesser Big Day Kahuna, done with not the Choshiva ones. It's also interesting to note that the Trumas Hadeshen is the one thing, I think, like Rav Hirsch says, that after having done it, it still remains Kodesh. Normally, most Avoidas, once you've done the Avoida with it, there's no Me'ila with the thing itself, because its Avoida is done. But the Trumas Hadeshen, even once he's put it next to the Mizbeach, over there, it remains Kodesh, and there's Me'ila with it, a very interesting thing. And that's the beginning of the parasha. The Heirim Es Hadeshen, he should take a little bit, and then he should put it next to the Mizbeach. And then Vahoytis Hadeshen is not talking about that bit. Vahoytis Hadeshen is talking about what's on the Mizbeach. Another Kohen goes back onto the Mizbeach, and he takes away all the Deshen, and he cleans the Mizbeach, he cleans it out. What's the meaning of this? What's the idea of it? So Rav Hirsch says as follows. Teruma, to raise a bit up, is to keep a little bit of something as an azkara. So kmitza, you take a bit of it and you give it to the Rabbeinu Shalom as an azkara. What's an azkara? What's a zikara and what does it mean? What's the azkara? What's the keeping of a little memento? I went on a trip to some holiday resort. I bring back a little seashell and I keep it on the shelf, so it's an azkara. What does it mean? It means that this should serve as a to keep Klal Yisrael, or to keep the person who brought it, in the forefront of Hashem's mind. That's what the azkara is. So kmitza means to take a bit of your mincha and to put it in front of Hashem, means that my desire to serve Hashem, my offering of myself to Hashem, should always be at the forefront of Hashem's mind. And he should focus on, keep his full attention on this. And he should provide me and with everything I need to serve him. That's the azkara. Interesting, isn't it, when we talk about zichroinos, it's a very frightening thing, isn't it? Oh, Hashem remembers everything. In Bepashtus, we all think it means, oh, Hashem remembers every aveira I've ever done. And you say zichroinos with such terror, which is also true. But Hashem also remembers all the mitzvahs you've done. And asking Hashem to remember you is asking Hashem to have you for the best, that you can serve, to give you the best opportunity to serve him, and you dedicate yourself that he should be at the forefront of his memory.
This
is a Koran Toiv, yeah. That's very cool. That's what it is. So Veheirim Es Hadeshen means like this, that the avoid of the day before, all of what Klal Yisrael have dedicated to Hashem, all of the good, the will of Klal Yisrael, Ritzoneinu La'aseh, Ritzoneinecha, wanting to serve Hashem, to come close to Hashem, Veheirim means to take a bit of that as an azkar. It's like the kmitza of all of the korbanos. Of everything, we take a little kmitza and put it there, and it's an azkara. What's it an azkara for? It's an azkara for Klal Yisrael. That Klal Yisrael should remember what's gone before them. That our avodah of today is a continuation of the day before, of Klal Yisrael before, of yesterday's avodah, of the avodah of the previous generation, and the avodah of the others. It all continues from one generation to the next, from one tkufa to the next, and everyone who comes in to serve Hashem fresh today, he does so looking back to what happened before him. We're not new to this, this has come from the past, and we're continuing the great avodah of the people before us. So the azkara here is for Hashem as well. So it's a truma, it's like a kmitza for the Rabbeinu Shalom. Remember and keep the avodah of Klal Yisrael at the forefront of your mind. But it's saying to the Kohanim and to Klal Yisrael, who come in preparation for a new day, that this truma, this is where you're continuing from. You're starting today from where they left off, and you're a link, you're continuing the avodah of the previous generation, and every yid stands in connected with the past to continue it into the future. That's the truma to connect us to the past. So what's the hitzvah sadeshen? Why? What's the avodah of cleaning out the mizbeach? And Rav Hirsch says a very important thing, that when you remember too much about what you've done in the past, that's also a very bad thing. The toiv and the ra. Because if you've achieved not such good things, if you're not looking back happily, then that can weigh a person down very much. It can be a very, very weight. But even Latoid, it can also be a bad thing. Because if you've achieved a very, very lot in the past, Baruch Hashem, I've achieved a lot. I can relax today. I'm retired now. I can have a day off. See what good work I did in the last month? Today, shy. I can take it easy today. I learned so much yesterday, can learn a bit less today. I already did mitzvahs in the past. Do you know how many I've done? See? So it means you have to start every day fresh, irrespective of the past. Don't allow the past to weigh you down or to make you so comfortable that you can afford to think that you don't have to work hard today. Therefore the mizbeach, you start the day with the mizbeach clean and fresh. No matter what happened in the past, whether it be bad, don't let it weigh you down. Come today, and for the future too. Even if it was good, I've learned so much, I achieved so much. Don't let that slow you down. Achieve it with maximum energy even today, as if nothing has ever happened. So therefore, the Truma Sadeshen takes a little kmitza, a little bit, as an azkara to remind the people coming in today that you're continuing from the past. This is an ancient mission that we have. A mission that goes all the way back to the Ovis, to Adam Rishon, all the way back. We're continuing that important mission. But the Hitzor Sadeshen says, clean Mizbeach, fresh slate, today is a new day. And give it the full energy as if there never was. So therefore, the Avodah of Hitzor Sadeshen was done with Begodim Pechusim. It was done with lesser Begodim to understand that the past is important. It's important to remember the past, but it has to go into the background. It has to be something that is not the forefront of our mind, because when the past is too much in the forefront of your mind, one way or the other, it's not such a healthy thing. It either makes you complacent or it makes you despondent. And neither of those things is good. You come to a fresh Mizbeach every day. What a beautiful thing. See, it was worth waking up this morning. It was worth coming to Shir this morning to hear this wonderful thing from Rav Hirsch. Reverend Brody Zichrona Rebrocha used to say, it's not Rav Hirsch, it's Rav Hirsch. But I can't say that, so we'll have to stick with Rav Hirsch and he'll be Moichalas. Fine, let's end off with an important thing. This is too long. Okay, fine. So I'll say one shorter thing from Ramesh Feinstein and the Sol. Ramesh Feinstein says, the Kohen Gadol brings a mincha, minchas chavitin, every single day, twice a day. Machatzisa b'boker, machatzisa b'orev. Was the Kohen Gadol ever allowed to sleep outside Yerushalayim? Is it not the halacha that a person who brings a korban? Sorry? He sent a shliach sometimes, yeah. Okay, I remember Chaim Kaufman discussing this once, so I raised the point. He brings a korban every single day. Why does he bring a korban every single day? So he brings a korban, but the posuk says that he brings a korban when he's mechunach. The posuk talks about that he brings it on the day of his chinuch and every single day after that. Let's see if we can find the posuk over here. I don't know. No, I don't have it in front of me. Okay, anyway, he brings this mincha on the day of his chinuch and every single day after that. It's ke'ilu, every single day is like a chinuch all by itself. He's mechunach today again to do the avodah. So Moshe Feinstein says, let no person who has any gedula of any sort think, I have it and it's done. Because it's not so. Because if Hashem's not happy, even if he won't lose the kohuna gedola, maybe he won't, but he might become tomei. And then all circumstances could arise that he could be prevented. Hashem has many ways of preventing a person who is ola legdula from fulfilling his task completely. And therefore, the person who has achieved a state should not be complacent to think, this is my state now. I have it, it's here. A person needs to work constantly to remind themselves that we stand in the service of Hashem, and what goodness Hashem has given needs to be earned and needs to be thanked for every single day, and a person should keep that fresh in their mind. And therefore, every day, the Kohen Gadol is Oyle Negedula. He comes to his greatness again today. It's not something that I've had and I've gotten used to. I thank Hashem for the opportunity today. And that's a limud for all people, for all of us, that we thank Hashem every single day. It's not the natural state. We have a certain position or a certain goodness, good health or whatever it is, paranosa. Every day we come and we say, it's Hashem's hashpo of today, and we're thankful for this for today. Say that.
Yeah.